I mean, we were able to stay pretty calm, given the fact, and fight off those momentums or those times in our zone. And, you know, I thought this game was strong for us. We got better and better as the game went on. And
the Blackhawks and the Blues in Game 6. It's The Beat live from the United Center on 720 WGN.
Our live broadcast from the first round of the 2016 Stanley Cup playoffs at the United Center is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Relocate your business for success and sponsored by Geico. Visit them at geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
Thanks to Chris Hine of the Chicago Tribune for joining us. We're at the Goose Island Pub, joined now by royalty. Look at him. Yeah. It was like 3 in the morning, Edzo, and I was had my TV on, and there you were talking to me about ExpressBet. Yeah. And I honestly
that was a live read, by the way.
You did.
Oh yeah, you do. They're all live.
First off, thank you for having me, but I want to know who canceled.
Oh yeah, that's what happened. We love you. We beg to talk to you.
Sure,
and we're,
you do, Carl.
You know that.
Hi, Adam. How you doing?
I'm great, Edzo.
I got banana cream pie for you under the table here. All right, here, let's just jump in right now.
What's going on?
A lot of loose pucks. Game 5. I thought in the overtime, it was real dicey. Let's be honest.
That was a Corey Crawford win, in my opinion. He played. Crowell played. Like we've seen him play in the past. These last two regular seasons, and obviously the playoffs speak for themselves last year, he has been so good, so consistent. You know, I didn't like the Jaden Schwartz goal, but look, those type of things happen. The first goal of the game the other night. So,
right.
But he made a couple of incredible saves. Patrick Kane talked about it, I think it was yesterday, that in overtime, Crow gave him a chance. I mean, they had some terrific chances. Patrick Berglund on the Blues had 4 or 5 A-plus chances. A couple of them hit Corey right in the right in the mask. But he played really good. And, hey, you need a bounce. You need a play. And what we talk about going into that game is that you needed your stars to put the puck in the back of the net. And look what ended up happening. You had Kane. You had Panarin. You had Hossa. Anisimov chips in. So a lot of positive things to give yourself a chance for a Game 6 here tonight at the United Center.
Well, and you said it, get a bounce, because you know better than anybody that anything can happen. But it certainly had that vibe, I felt like, in overtime, that the Blues had things going their way.
Yeah.
So I think the Hawks need to feel fortunate that they're here tonight for Game 6. But, you start over every game, right?
Yeah. I am a believer, Adam, of momentum. What do you do with it when you have it? Now, how long will that last for the Hawks coming into this game? Time will tell. But you talk about surges, and it's something that's kind of become new in the National Hockey League when you think about what's happened with the rule changes over the course of the last couple of years, is when you have the momentum, what do you do with it, especially in the playoffs? Now, if you don't have it, everybody says, well, you got to get it back. Well, first thing you got to do is stop the surge against you. And how do you do that? Is it a save? Is it a hit? Is it a play? And then when you get it back on your side, what do you do with it? And I think we saw in the first overtime, they had all the momentum, that being the Blues. Hawks had some looks, but, missed that 2-on-1. Remember Teravainen and Anisimov had that 2-on-1 where it just looked like it went under a stick, and maybe it was a little bit too hard of a pass. But then in the second overtime, all of a sudden the Hawks had a little traction, and Patrick Kane made a great play. He made an incredible move. I don't know if he got enough credit for the move that he made out near the top of the circle where he kind of opened up and put two St. Louis Blues down and was able to, knife his way in.
I was going to just ask you about that. I mean,
the first guy fell out.
I mean, how
well, yeah, but he, I think he was more, it was Kyle Brodziak, okay. I think it was one of those where if he did, that would be something that I would do, is like, looking like I'm falling down but trying to block the shot,
what
I mean? So I think he was actually trying to go down to block the shot, but it was an incredible move that very few players in the league could make, and he ended up finding the puck on the other side.
I was going to say, I mean, how many guys in the NHL could stick handle like that?
Not many.
Right?
And for Patrick Kane, I mean, it's getting that space. It's getting that opportunity to have the ability to be able to maneuver with some ice in front of him, which hasn't been a lot in this series. Look, St. Louis has got good players, too. They're a really good team. They check well. We marvel at how Nicholas Jalmerson and Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook shut down the other team's top guys. And, Vladimir Tarasenko's had a great series. But other teams have really good players, too, and they have the ability to be able to shut down the Blackhawks' best players. But at the end of the day, you need your best players following through and putting the puck in the back of the net.
Now that we've had what is this, the third year of this playoff format now, I think it is? At least the third year.
Exactly.
Are you still a fan of it? Do you like how it – because you said, I mean, the Blues are really good. Like, either one of these teams is more than capable of winning the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I'm – obviously, you guys know I'm old. So I'm saying, look, divisional play is really important. But for me, I would like to see it where the top eight teams in the Western Conference would be seeded that way, Adam.
Okay.
So top team plays the eighth team. Two play seven, and so on and so on. You might get an opportunity to have maybe a little bit more of a truer playoff format or a matchup as the playoffs go on. But I understand how important the divisional play is and what that means with rivalries. I'd like to go back to the old days where the top eight teams in each division or conference make it, and then you take the top 16 teams. So you could play, if you finish first, you know, if you're in the West, you could play somebody in the East. Or if you're a seven, a 6-9 matchup, you could be playing the Philadelphia Flyers in the first round. That's not going to happen, but to me, I would like to see the conferences go 1-8. So you could have five teams in the Central and three from the Pacific, and the Hawks could play L.A. in the first round, or Anaheim could play, you know, whoever in the second, in the first round. But I understand why they do it, and it's been great hockey. I mean, if you followed just not the Blackhawks series, those games last night were just
fun.
Epic games and a lot of fun to be a part of and obviously watch on TV.
The great Eddie Olczyk with us here outside the Goose Island Pub outside section 108-109.
A lot of fans are warmed up
here.
Yeah,
baby.
We got a great crowd here.
Yeah. There it is.
Got a lot of good-looking humans out here.
High level right now. This is it definitely has to be your
cheer for you. We've been trying to rile them up, and we didn't get anything.
No, they're eating. They're hungry humans, and the NHL doesn't stand for National Hockey League. It stands for Never Hungry League. There's always food around the National Hockey League.
As there should be. Yeah. I mean, you got to be well-fed for these games. So, okay, a lot has been made about the game times and whatnot. When you were playing, would it matter to you if the game was at 7 or 8:42? I mean, how would that mess up your rhythm, or if at all?
I mean, I was a real routine type of guy. I'd like the games to be really the same time all the time. And look, I played an era when they were. I played 8 o'clock games when I played in Toronto a lot. When I was a young guy, I liked the later starts as a young guy. But as I got older and kids involved, I'd like to play every game at 1 o'clock if I could. Get up, go to the rink, and then get home. You know, and that's the reality of it. I mean, you do have the late starts. It does play into your routine, but the Blackhawks have played it every possible time. Joel Quenneville touched on it yesterday. They played at 11:30 local time. I mean, they played it 2 or 3. They played at 7. They played at 8. They played at 8:42. This has been going on a lot. But for me, as a player, I did like that consistency, but understand why there's so many different, you know, variables that play into the decision-making.
Looks like Kane and Taze are going to start together on the top line, and maybe Andrew.
You're not, you wouldn't be changing that for sure.
Andrew Shaw with them? Do you like that?
Andrew Shaw has played really well in this series. Obviously, what he did the other night, taking the bad penalty, that can't happen. And then the antics on the way to the penalty box and then in the box, that can't happen. He crossed the line. I think the league handled it extremely well. The Blackhawks were proactive. I mean, that's the way that you handle things from an organization. I'm not surprised with the leadership of this franchise with Rocky Wirtz and John McDonough and Jay Blanc. They got out in front of it. They made their statement. Andrew Shaw obviously was very upset and crossed the line, and he owned up to it. And hopefully it's a learning moment for all of us. We live in a much different world now. And look, he's been an impactful player for the Blackhawks. So Joel has that flexibility with him. He can play him with the top line. He can play him on the fourth line. He's an important part to this team because he gives them a little bit of something, you know, that a lot of guys don't bring. He brings energy. He brings a little agitation. He has physical play. And, oh, yeah, by the way, he can score some big goals for you.
How much of that at all? And obviously we're just sort of speculating. But it's obviously been a tough few days for him, too.
Yeah.
And we just talked to Chris Hine, who has a very personal angle towards that whole story. And he talked to Shaw one-on-one. And Shaw was very remorseful to Chris. Right. And that's great to hear. So to show up, this is a huge game tonight, and you need Andrew Shaw back in there. You need him focused on the game. To show up at the ice this morning, to be on the top line with Taves and Kane, I got to think that's a confidence booster, whether or not that sticks throughout the game or not.
Well, this is where you really rely on your family. This is where you rely on your organization when you go through tough times. Look, I believe this is that the true color of someone or some team is not when things are great, but when things are tough. That's when you really show your character. That's when you really show what you're made of. And you're right. It's been a tough couple of days for Andrew Shaw, not only what he did, but the aftermath of not being able to play and being suspended and letting a lot of people down. And now he gets an opportunity to get back in there. So I think he has that great support inside that locker room from the players, from the coaches. I'm sure management as well. But again, the way that it was handled, I think, was considering everything, I thought it was handled extremely well by all parties, and probably most importantly by Andrew Shaw after the fact.
The great Eddie Olczyk with us here for a couple more minutes, 720 WGN. So in your mind, if you could pick one guy to kind of step up, elevate his game that we haven't seen so far in the series, who would you point at, if anyone?
Well, I mean, I look at guys that have had some really good looks and have really yet to be able to maybe capitalize on those chances that maybe we've seen in the past. I would say for sure Jonathan Toews, because the puck is there for him and it's just not, hasn't gotten a bounce yet. He would be the guy up front. And for me, Brent Seabrook, because he's had some incredible looks on the back end.
Yeah.
And the puck has either hit somebody's leg or hit somebody's stick and maybe missed the net. But I would say that those two guys, look, I mean, those are obvious guys because they're part of the core. But the one thing I think we've seen in this series is that you can't turn down opportunities to get the puck to the net. Like, that's pretty isn't really the right formula in the playoffs. Like, plays are going to happen, great plays, I mean, because they are. But more times than not, it's the nasty, hard-working, ugly type of plays. So you're better off to just think is when you get that puck 25 feet out, just get that puck to the net.
Does Toews look okay to you?
Sure.
I mean, it's tough to tell. I did.
Look. As I said earlier, you know, tipping your hockey helmet to the other side is when they do, when other teams do good jobs against the Blackhawks' best players, because we always marvel at the job that Duncan Keith and defensemen do, or Jonathan Toews playing against somebody else's top guy, like in Game 7 last year in a Western Conference final against Anaheim. You didn't see Ryan Getzlaff. Jonathan Toews dictated the terms in that. Paul Stastny's done a pretty good job against Jonathan Toews in this series. He's won some faceoffs. They've forced Jonathan to defend a little bit more. But to me, I mean, it looks like he's moving fine. It's just one of those series right now where he hasn't been able to, you know, find the back of the net. He's playing as much as he has. I mean, the compete level's there. Everything is there. Just hasn't had a bounce. But look, he's got to get some help too. You know, his winger's got to help him out, regardless of who they are. But as far as I know, I mean, he looks good to me. But the Blackhawks need him to cash in on a chance that, you know, that he might get in this game.
You made a comment a little while ago about momentum. Do you believe in that game to game, or is it just within?
I do. I do. So I think going into this game tonight, you know, where do the Hawks take that the first couple of shifts of the game? And I am a believer.
What do they need to do better to protect these leads that they've had?
Well, I think safe is death in the playoffs.
Yeah, you said that the other night.
Yeah, it really is. And it's hard. It's just human nature. You get a 2-1 lead in a playoff game, and it's an elimination game where the mindset is I don't want to take a chance, or I'm not going to try to keep a play alive, or I'm going to sit in the middle of my skates instead of playing on my toes. Well, the way that they got the lead was by playing on their toes, as we've seen it. I mean, no lead is safe, really. Especially a 2-goal lead in the National Hockey League, and even 3. Remember earlier in the year when the Blues were in here?
5-2.
It was 5-1 at one time, 5-2. And all of a sudden the game is in overtime and the Blackhawks end up losing. So I just think if you can play with the lead, you got to play the same way as you would if it was 2-1 or if it's 4-1. And look, you got to look at the clock. You got to know who's on the ice. But I'm not saying you're pinching in and taking chances. But I just think in that situation is if you play safe, usually really good teams like the Blues are, they're going to gain some traction and gain some momentum.
Is that comment from Alec Pietrangelo saying that, hey, it will be great to win in Chicago, is that up in the old room today? Do they even pay attention to that?
It's probably more for the social media and
that's where I live,
the World Wide Web and whatever. Back in the day, we just had to dry erase boards. So or the chalkboard, I guess I should say, when I first started. So you know about chalkboards, don't you, Carm?
You used to
have to stay after school to clean those erasers.
I do. I will not talk in class. Now I feel like we've just gotten Bart
Simpson.
So that's
it. You guys are cutting me off. I'm seeing the old...
Yeah, we're going to break. I hope you just stay and hang out because you love us.
I got to go get my face on tonight.
I figured that. Thanks for having me.
And I don't know who canceled on you guys, but...
You're the best.
I'm glad I was the long reliever today.
Exactly.
I like the gray suit tonight, too. It's a very sharp, professional. Yes, you look good.
As long as the game doesn't go in overtime, I could have it back by 10:30 tonight.
Okay. That's Eddie Olczyk. We appreciate him coming down. You can hear him on the broadcast on NBC tonight. It's Blackhawks and Blues game 6. We're here at the Unite Center at the Goose Island Pub. The gates are open to the UC. Come say hey. It's 720 WGN.